Welcome back to the Golly Young Men Podcast, episode 105. Talking today about something that I think is going to be, it's kind of uncharted territory for us in the sense of we've talked about, and real fast as always, I'll say, join our Discord, look at our merch, check it out. All the info for that is in the comments. Joe's repping our shirt today and our hat.
And
actually.
Our hat, yeah.
Got it's one of those, like, I was like, okay, I want to wear that stuff periodically, but not every episode. So at least one of us is. That's good. Joe is repping for us. I did not wear any.
Had the
of
hoodie
today.
Last episode, actually.
You did.
I just packed a bunch and was like, all right.
I've got my gym bag over there, so at least I'm somewhat repping. You just can't see it, but I'll have to bring the water bottle too. Don't worry about that. Anyway. I'm really excited about this episode. So we have talked before about dating. Is dating a good idea? It was episode 29. We'll probably kind of redo something like that very, very soon. Great episode, I felt like. We talked in episode 80, so a lot more recently, about why premarital sex is wrong and kind of the when you're dating, when you're very close with your girlfriend, kind of the pitfalls and the things to watch out for at that point. What we want to do with this episode is to kind of talk specifically about, okay, post-engagement, pre-wedding. Yeah. It's a very specific time in a young man's life that is incredibly exciting. You have proposed to the woman of your dreams. You've had the special moment, hopefully. And can I just go on a rant for a second?
Go for it.
This is very unprompted. Make the proposal special. You see these guys where it's like, you know, we're sitting in the car together and they just, you know, the moment's right. So they just ask the question. Every girl ever, no matter what they tell you, they want a special moment. You don't have to do the whole, like, trail of rose petals and, like, you know, this super planned out thing. You don't have to go that far, but, man, make it special. I don't know. That's just something I really feel like. You do that, one time in your entire life. Do something cool. Try to have somebody who can take some pictures. Try to have somebody who can maybe video it. Yeah, just a very random thing that I would definitely push for. Like, there's a lot of guys, again, that I just feel like, it's whatever. We're just walking down the road, and I'll just ask you real fast. No, get down on one knee, do all that stuff. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but.
No, I back it up 10,000%. Make it something that you both can talk about in 10 years.
Exactly.
You know, where you very much remember where I was, what that took place. Just out of curiosity, what was yours?
We were on my grandparents, like that bluff, mountaintop bluff.
Right, they've
got
right.
a beautiful view. I felt like it was pretty smooth. We always would go out there to take pictures. My wife had been up there before, but I actually was able to get both my wife's mom and then my entire family was up. Like they went to visit my grandparents with us, and I was able to do that without Rachel suspecting anything because I was like, hey, we're going to go for a hike after. Rachel's mom loves hiking. Smooth. So I was like, hey, invite your mom. It'd be great. And just was like, hey, let's go out back. Let's get a picture. You always want to get a picture. And I had – the house is somewhat large, so I had my brother and my friend on two different ends. One was videoing, one was taking a picture. And, she didn't know. It was great. Got a great view, great pictures.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was really – how about what was yours?
I flipped to Seattle, drove all the way to Moses Lake.
Oh, so you surprised
her, didn't you? And, surprised her. She came home, and I was there, and – so yeah,
that's cool.
From
that was a very unprompted rant there, but anyway.
Yeah, as we get started on the engagement period, make it count. That's number one.
But
I
it's
guess
a very special time. That's what I was trying to get to. It's a very special time in your life where you're building up toward the wedding. She's already said yes. You're super happy. She's showing off the ring. This is a very important time in a young man's life, and so there's several different things we want to talk about. Joe, kind of get into what different areas we want to talk about because I've been talking a lot here.
Yeah, no doubt, no worries. Real fast, this was requested. And just to go back to it, so thank you. This was requested, I think, on a couple different people. And maybe they had ideas on the dating period. We took it more on the engagement. We've talked some about the dating versus courtship.
And again, we'll do more stuff like
this. And we'll do more stuff like this. This is specifically on the engagement one. What I was going to say on the request is join the Discord and then request. And we would love to have more from that.
That's right.
But this is about setting up for the rest of your life. This is a very important time, as Will is talking about, where we want to look at what the relationship looks like. We want to look at some in-law stuff. We want to look at how to grow personally in this time. And as we get into what the relationship should look like from the very beginning, I think there's a strong argument to be made for shorter engagement periods. I think longer on the dating / courtship, getting to know one another period.
Because you don't want to rush that.
You don't want to rush that. You want to know where each other stand. You want to know what they believe about very key things, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of these long engagements of, well, you know, it's going to take a year and a half to get the right venue.
To plan the wedding.
Like, sexual temptation gets the strongest in this moment. This is when we have to be most on guard because man, it's really easy to make that like.
Well, I've got on here. Like at that point, there's like one thing left to do. Like yeah. Once she said yes, like there's basically one thing left.
Well,
to
we're practically married. I mean, she already said yes to the engagement, and we know we're gonna get married anyway. And so
let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Exactly. You start with the whole like you know, making concessions and kind of giving in to little things, maybe more kissing, things like that. Make sure you keep your boundaries at an all time high in this particular part, which is why we would encourage shorter engagements.
I'm curious if you have kind of a sweet spot in mind. Obviously it's completely arbitrary, but you say shorter engagement. Short's relative for some people, and so short, oh yeah, like a year instead of 2 years. Like what do you think is a kind of a sweet spot for engagements?
3 to 6 months, in my opinion. 3 to 6 months. I would be 3 to 4, but I understand for some reasons it may have to go to 6 months. I would not do longer than 6 month engagements personally. I think if you can get it done in 3, a lot of times the woman wants the, you know, $300,000 wedding type of thing. Yeah, that takes a long time to plan. But for most of the people we're going to be marrying, you know, a godly young man that is, not me and Will. we're done with that one. For most of the people that that you guys will be marrying, like the women are probably going to be fine with a little more on the smaller end. Or they've already had a venue in mind that they've been thinking about. This wasn't just, you know, sprung on them of, wow, we didn't even know we were going to get engaged. Most of the time, they're already looking at it. And so those type of things, I think, can keep it shorter.
My wife and I were 7 months. And it's funny. So we got engaged on August 1st. Rachel really wanted to get married in November. And so that would have been three-month engagement. And funny enough, I was the one that was – it was super weird. I really wanted to be 19. I did not want to get married at 18 years old. I really wanted to – the other thing was holidays were coming up. And so we had to – we pushed it beyond November – and then you're getting into Christmas time and New Year, and so we ended up doing March, and yeah. So I guess under your definition, we were a tad long, but yeah, I would agree in the sense of, I mean, yeah, I've got on here again. This will be when sexual temptation is the strongest, and so we would argue for shorter. Looking back, maybe 7 months was a little bit too long for us. It probably was. It's just kind of the way the timing worked out. November felt too soon, but March was probably a little bit too long. But anyway, I would agree with Joe. I think 3 to 5 months, maybe 6 months at the most, is probably a good range, because hopefully, as we just said, you've already spent a lot of time, months, years, maybe not too many years, but like, you know, 8 months, a year, 16 months, really getting to know this person, and you hopefully now you have the confidence of, this is the person I want to marry, you propose, let's get on with it.
I think the purpose of the engagement is just to prep for the wedding, and people treat it kind of differently, or
yeah.
Either they need everything in the wedding to be perfect, or they kind of treat it as, okay, yeah, we're going to kind of start thinking about wedding preparation, like... In my opinion, you get engaged, let's talk about the wedding, let's go. Because that's not the time where you start having the really difficult conversations.
Hopefully you had those beforehand.
Correct. Yeah. That needed to be talked about. And so, Will, I want you to get us into like, okay, then what do you talk about in this time period? We're assuming up to this point for the several months, like you said, 16 months, whatever it is that you've been in the relationship, you've covered some pretty big territory. If you haven't, don't get engaged.
Correct.
If you have, what does that mean you talk about during the engagement time?
Yeah, we're kind of operating, as Joe said, under the assumption that you have already talked about kids, discipline, schooling options, what is your marriage gonna look like, finances, jobs, like all the, if you're just to echo Joe, he's already said it well, but like if you're waiting until, all right, we got engaged last week, let's talk about kids, like bad idea, really bad idea. Make sure that you have already had those discussions. So I just thought it was an interesting question, like, okay, so assuming you've already talked about all that, what does your relationship look like for the next few months? And this is, again, why sexual temptation can be so much stronger, is like we've already talked about all the stuff. We're planning a wedding. We're watching movies a lot of the night and just kind of hanging out. Like, okay, that's when the temptation is there. And so I've got a few things on here. I think it's fun to talk about the excitement for the future. There is, again, it's a very exciting time. You've got a wedding you're looking forward to. You're going to get to spend the rest of your life with this girl. It's just really exciting. Talk about that. I think that's a very reasonable thing to talk about. I put on here, though, Joe, and this is where I want to open it back up to you. Continue to get to know each other better. And again, I think sometimes there is pressure, specifically with Christian relationships, to talk about the big stuff early on. I think that's really good. Again, that's valuable. Sure. But I think sometimes when you talk about just the bit, you feel that pressure to talk about the big stuff. Sometimes you don't talk about the little stuff.
Yeah.
You don't know what your fiance or your girlfriend's view on something small and maybe not that important. Those are things that are important to know, I feel like. And again, we can talk about the homeschooling and, you know, where are we going to live and holidays and really big stuff. Find really important, non-shallow things is the way that I would put that. Like, obviously it's fun to know their top 5 movies and favorite fast food and all that, but like, you know, what's your opinion on XYZ current event? political event, cultural event. Goodness knows there's always a lot of controversies going on. Like, I don't know. I guess I just put on there, like, you've talked about the big stuff. Hopefully you know their favorite this, favorite that. At this point, don't be shallow in the relationship. Look for things to further develop a deep relationship as opposed to everything being an inside joke all the time. Or, again, let's just talk about our favorite, talk about The Office all the time. Like, find non-shallow things to talk about.
Yeah. Big one for me that I would – I like that point a lot. The big one that I would add is – you got a lot of emotional stuff coming up. The wedding is one of the most stressful times that a girl is going to have, and probably going to be stressful for you as well. You're thinking about starting a family and everything else.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when she's doing a lot of the wedding preparation, finding a dress, and she's dealing with a lot of family stuff, a lot of drama. This is how you get the bridezilla, but you also get the mother-in-law who is, you know, maybe your mother-in-law, her mom.
Mother-in-law-zilla, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or one of the sisters is really upset that she didn't get to be do X, Y, Z. A lot of stress.
Yeah.
You need to see, how do you show up for her in those moments? Can you talk about the emotions? Can she just vent to you for a second and you go, you know, I'm so sorry. Those are the type of things that I think it presents a more emotional opportunity to connect than maybe you have before. Up to that point, it's a lot of butterflies. In this, there's butterflies and excitement about the wedding. There's also a lot of stress. How do you show up in those moments? How does she handle the family? How do you handle family, things like that? We'll get to the in-laws here in a bit, but I think this is the continuing to know one another more, talking about the challenging things, it can lead to arguments. Don't fear arguments. Don't fear the tension, because those are an opportunity to grow and to connect to one another all the more. So while
to work on your conflict resolution.
Exactly. Skills, work on conflict resolution and to know you can be upset with me and I still love you. In the dating situation, in the dating time period, you don't know that. You might get upset, and maybe that's it. I mean, where do we go from here? Like, I didn't talk to you for 2 days. Are we still dating? Are we good? Do I need to make up? You know, what do we do here? When you're engaged, this is really an opportunity to solidify, how do you show up for one another when you don't like that person, when you are frustrated at something they did, when you don't think they're handling this stress well? Talk through those things, and so use this as an opportunity to get to know how one another operates when life isn't great, because the dating life is great. Everything's, you know, sunshine and daisies. Guess what happens when you get married?
Yeah.
And the first time when something bad happens, and maybe you get into a new house and it floods. Maybe she's not an easy pregnant woman. Whatever it may be, she has a really tough pregnancy type of thing. What then? How do you handle those? Now's the time to get to know that.
Yeah, and that's been one of our gripes with dating before, is like it's all watching Netflix and going to get ice cream and going out to eat a billion times. And it's like, that's great. That's not really what life's all about.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, one of the things I was going to say is ask a lot of questions. Ask her questions. You know, stuff like, you know, are you nervous about walking down the aisle in front of all those people? Or, you know, what are your thoughts about, you know, how our siblings are going to handle it? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on the music we've, like, whatever it is, like, there's so many different questions you can ask about.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the anticipation she's feeling, or, you know, I've got on here, like, talking about honeymoon plans. Like, are you excited about the honeymoon? Like, I don't know. There's just so many different questions you can ask that hopefully you're going to lead to some deeper conversation about her feelings, or, man, how do you think your mom's going to handle you being out of the house now? Or how do you think your dad's going to handle, like, I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing stuff out
I
there.
Love that,
but
yeah.
I really, I don't know. I love questions like that. Cause it really forces people to think, and man, that's how you talked to a lot. What was the last episode? We talked about emotional intimacy and physical intimacy, that intellectual intimacy of really kind of asking each other questions and talking through some things. Well, man, what do you think our first Christmas is going to be like as a married couple, as opposed to an engaged couple or whatever it is? I don't know. A lot of stuff you can ask.
You can always look at things, like you said, things that are happening around. So you'll see some kid at church, and my wife and I would do this a lot. You'd see some kid at church or something where just kid really needs discipline, whatever it is. And I would come, we weren't married at the time, but I'd be like, okay, so this is the situation. How would you handle that? I'm trying to think.
Would you handle that is a great question.
Yeah. How would you, like, what was her, and she had some really good answers on, which is how I knew she's going to be a great mom. And she had some great answers on how you might handle things like that. If you go to a wedding, let's say while you're in preparation, you go to somebody else's wedding. What'd you like about that wedding? I mean, I don't know that I like this. What are your thoughts on that? They did this. Oh, wow. They didn't even do the you know, this ceremony or whatever it is. Talk about that. What'd you think about these things? And get her thoughts on whatever takes place. If you're running out of things to talk about, that's not good.
No.
That's not good. Come up with things, get good at asking questions. It's a great point. As you said, wedding plans, the honeymoon plans, the only thing I'll say on honeymoon plans,
Be a little careful.
Be careful. You're talking about that first night and what it's going to be like. And next thing you know, it's like that might come sooner than later. That what's going to be taking place on the first night if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Try not to talk about sex too much ahead of time. There may be certain things to know. If she's got some medical issue or whatever else, it's probably best to not spring that on honeymoon night, the first night. On the other hand, be very careful because that can be a temptation of, where you start, saying some things maybe you shouldn't.
Or imagining things you shouldn't.
The other thing is, use this time you have down here like this. Use this time to get to know her family, her siblings, her parents, her... You may already know them. If they're older, if you're a little older, sometimes the siblings are out of the house. They've been at college or they have their own jobs, their own families. Maybe you're not around them as much. Now is the time where you're going to get to have like family dinners. They're going to have you over and meet the family on Thanksgiving or whatever. Make sure that you are connecting with all of them. If the only person you can connect with is the girl, that's not good.
Well, I guess where my mind went is like, maybe you're going over to her house and her mom are going to be really diving into wedding talk. And it's like, okay, take that time to spend time with her brother or spend time with her dad. Yeah. Like if you're like me, like I had opinions about the wedding, but unless I was asked, I wasn't really about to insert myself. And there were other things that I'd rather do and talk about. So, use that time productively. Again, if she's got a brother that you want to get close to, like, man, take advantage of that. You really want to develop a relationship with her family as well. Which leads us into our next area, which I think is under-discussed but is very important for godly young men, and that is, how do we deal with in-laws? What about in-laws? I don't really know where we want to start here because this – I'll start here. In-laws can be – there is a kind of a reputation, stereotype, I guess is the word I'm looking for, of, oh, man, got to go to the in-law's house, or, oh, man, I got to deal with her in-laws, or – and even for the girl, got to deal with his in-laws, and – I do think there's a reason for that. There are a lot of kind of messy families, a lot of times where maybe it's not that fun dealing with the in-laws. Maybe her dad or her mom just are emotionally unstable. Like, there's a lot of reasons why I think that stereotype exists. What I would say is do your best to have a great relationship with your in-laws. Maybe they don't make it possible. Maybe they're jerks. Maybe they're just not. I mean, I don't think my in-laws watch this at all, but that my in-laws are great. The one thing about them though that is different is they don't really talk about super deep stuff all the time, at least not when we're there. And so that's just something that I've just had to kind of get used to. It's like, if we're going to be there, we're not going to be talking about anything super deep, which is not my favorite thing in the world, to just talk about shallow stuff all the time. That's just kind of the way they do things. And so, but at least what I would again encourage you to do is do your best to have a — it doesn't mean we don't have a great relationship, we do — have a great relationship and do everything you can to have a great relationship with your in-laws.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid and needed point, because you're going to be spending a lot of time with them. You're going to have to discuss compromising on holidays, compromising on special days. You're going to have the in-laws reach out at certain times.
You're going to be watching your kids probably at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. You want to make sure you're not torpedoing that right out the gate, because – well, they're this, they're that. We don't get along. We don't see eye to eye on these things. Pump the brakes. Let's hold on. Let's figure out how to navigate this. We are going to have to compromise on some things. And I think it is okay to naturally gravitate toward one set of in-laws. You're just naturally going to be closer to one.
Yeah.
We just are naturally, I love my in-laws. We go out to Colorado when we can. I think both my brother, three of my brother-in-laws, I think I have five. Sorry, doing the math on the fly. Yeah, three of my brother-in-laws, I think, watch Jim Podcast, so shout out to them. But yes, we went to my family's a lot. They were in Washington initially. We were in Colorado. My family's in Colorado. We moved down
so
here.
So you naturally gravitated.
So we naturally gravitated. That's okay. I don't feel like ultra guilty that, yes, my wife is pretty close to my mom. We still try to make it work. We still try to get up back to Colorado as much as possible. Still try to have them down when we can. We start text threads. And so you have to work on these things. Don't show that obnoxious favoritism where you're never going to go to the other person's
house.
Or
you're like at the one in-law's house and you're talking about how much fun you had with the other set of in-laws. And, oh my, they do this. And like, that's no room for that.
Yeah, go watch the movie Parental Guidance. That is just a hilarious, hilarious
movie.
And they have that in there of like, man, we're the other parents, right? The other grandparents. Nobody wants to be that. And it's a funny movie, but it is true that sometimes you show up and it's like, there's no pictures of Nana and Papa. There's no pictures of whatever. We want to make sure when you're doing that with your kids that you are including both sets. But that starts with you handling these things well. There will be holiday disagreements. At the end of the day, navigating those is going to be a lot of communication and a lot of validation. My wife, our first one, we did not have the money to go back home for her. We had just come off of, we got married in October. We went on a honeymoon out of the country in November. And when we came back, it's like, okay, we have Thanksgiving and we have Christmas. We don't have the money to go to Washington. We already got married in Washington and then come back to Colorado. So Thanksgiving and Christmas in that first year did not spend with her family. That was a tough one, but my wife also understood it, and I was there to validate the feelings and say, I'm so sorry. That's really, really difficult. Instead of, well, just the way that it is, make sure that you're paying attention to how these things affect. Communicate a lot about it, even if there's disagreements.
I want to say something about the compromise thing, just to go back to that kind of our first thing. I guess what I mean by that is a lot of the holiday stuff of like, okay, naturally, you're probably going to want to spend a little bit more time with your family than hers.
Right.
And then vice versa as well. Odds are, like, she's going to want to spend more time with her family. And again, hopefully you guys get to where you maybe naturally gravitate towards one together and you're not having to, like, bicker about it. But what I mean is, like, compromise in the sense of, okay, it's holiday time. You need to see both sets. You need to make sure that you're giving time to both. You need to make sure that you are fair, I guess, is the word that I would use. And then I'm glad Joe talked about, like, the communication part of it. But, like, compromise with that.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is my favorite day of the year. And I told my wife, I really do not want to try to go to two different places on Thanksgiving Day. So the compromise was, okay, then for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, we're going to kind of go to her family's and they're going to kind of dictate the schedule. That's compromise. That's maybe not the exact way that I would choose, but if I was going to say I really want to be at my family's house on Thanksgiving, I had to compromise in other areas. And obviously, everybody has different holiday things that they do. I know you guys kind of alternate where it's Thanksgiving with one set, Christmas with the other, and then vice versa the next year. That works for a lot of people. That's great. And so that's what I meant with the compromise. The one thing that I'll say, continuing on with this point, is don't compromise in the areas where that don't need to be compromised. Mm. I'm thinking specifically with kids in the sense of like we are, I wouldn't say strict. We are very mindful and cautious of how much bad food that our kids consume, how much screen time our kids, and our kids right now are 3 and 1.5, how much they consume. And so I would say if you know your in-laws, or maybe it's your parents in this instance, are sticking your kid in front of an iPad or a screen or a tablet all the time, you don't have to compromise on that. Like, you have every right to say, hey, listen, I really appreciate you watching our kids for us. Please don't stick them in front of an iPad. Please, you know, movies fine. Don't have the TV on the whole time they're there. And, you know, I think parental guidance is one of those where it kind of makes fun of the overprotective parents. But I guess my wife and I are in that stage of life now where it's like, there's some things we don't really want to compromise on. Again, screen time and food. And as they get older, it's going to be like, again, certain friends that they hang out with, are they going to be spending the night certain places? Like, you don't have to compromise on that.
Well, here's the other thing. We don't have this too much. I don't think you've had this too much, but sometimes the in-laws can overstep. I've seen this a lot with people where maybe your wife's mom wants to come in and dictate how the holidays are going to work. Well, on Christmas, you're just going to do this and you're going to do that. It's okay to step up and go, no.
We're not.
No, we're not. We're establishing our own family traditions. Don't be a jerk. Try to accommodate, right? Try to, as we're talking about, try to compromise where possible. But on the other hand, there is a level of, no, I'm standing up for what we want.
Leave and cleave.
The leave and cleave principle here. I think that comes into play with in-laws. It's not just about holidays. It's about a lot of different things. I know my dad's mom came in and was trying to tell my mom how to decorate the house. Oh. You need to put this up. You need to put that up. And my dad came in and called her out. It didn't go super well. And my dad goes, if it comes down to me choosing you or my wife, it's going to be my wife. And kind of shut her up. And she never had that again. You may have to step up in that way. That was with his own mom. You may have to step up when it comes to these in-law situations and just establish this is our home and this is where it's at. Like I said, don't go too far. Try to make it work. We don't want to tick anybody off. But when it's pushed to that point, that is where it's like, this isn't about taking somebody off. We're both upset at this point. We got to handle it and step up for what you think is
my
right.
My story about that, again, my parents don't watch this, so I don't really care about telling the story. My wife and I have been married for a few months, and we went to meet up with my mom at this point, and my dad was out of town, and some friends for dinner, and we told them we were going to see a movie after, and my mom, said, oh, what movie are you going to see? And I told her what it was, and the movie had a little bit of language in it. Sure enough, she looked it up and saw that it had language, and she emailed me 4 months post-marriage and just how disappointed she was that I'd gone to see that movie that had some language in it. And my wife actually responded and very kindly, but was basically like, we're our own family. We appreciate your input. But I mean, my mom was basically lecturing me about it. And my wife was like, you don't get to do that anymore. Like, we're, you know, you can give advice, you can give counsel, but you don't get to lecture my husband about that. He's not your little boy anymore. So that's my story. And I mean, that was kind of the same thing. It's a bit of overstepping there. And I do think you should go to your in-laws and parents for advice and for counsel, and don't be the guy that's like, I'm not going to listen to anybody. That's right. Not the case. But there's balance there. Joe, anything else on in-laws? I think, this is a under-discussed because you're going to be dealing with this a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe not a lot if they live far away. But, like, you know, right now I'm within an hour of my parents and her parents. I know your parents are close. And yep. When you guys go back to Colorado, I mean, you guys spend a lot of time with Alyssa's in-laws. Yeah. And so you're going to be dealing with this a lot. And I think it's an important thing to discuss.
Yeah. In-laws, like you said, are under-discussed. They are discussed in a trope-like, kind of butt of the joke way. No, these are legitimate concerns.
They're exactly practical things you'll deal with.
They're practical things you're going to have to deal with. The same with what your relationship should look like. The third thing we wanted to get into,
I'm glad you put this on here, yeah.
How do you focus on self-improvement in this time period? It can be so... We can be so myopic with the relationship. It's all about her. Every waking moment, I get up and I text her in the morning and I'm calling her on the way to work and I'm doing this, doing that. And what you realize in the moment is like, I haven't had 2 seconds to myself to work on myself, to do anything of my own. And the first thing that I put down on here is, make sure you are continuing to work on your Bible study or Bible reading and your prayer life, because the temptation is to spend every waking moment, yep, all your free time, just talking to your fiance.
Or being with her at the same time.
Being with her, yeah, exactly. Calling her when you're not near. I still have this with my wife. We talk all the time. Like, I have to say, no, there's some time for me to just work on personal growth, listen to a podcast, you know, time for prayer, whatever it is. You have to be able to set those boundaries and continue to work on yourself, even in the midst of, yes, a very exciting time period. It's great that you're going to be together for life, but this is setting yourself up for the future, which is, I'm going to have to grow as a man. I'm going to have to grow as a person, as a husband, as a father, as just a Christian, even after we're married. So make sure you're doing that in that time period as well.
The next thing and I love that. The next thing he has on here is build solid relationships with other men who can hold you accountable. This is extremely important in the sense of, I'm not even just talking about like mentors or something like that. Don't sacrifice your friendships just because you're so close to your fiance and your girlfriend, who you're naturally going to be close to. But that's one of the things I appreciate about Joe. Joe and Alyssa got together and I was 15, 16. And Joe and I were still, you know, really good friends and talking a lot. And, you know, Joe, of course, was spending a lot of time talking to her but he still made time to call me, and we still made time for each other. And so I really appreciated that. You know, because he was moving into a family portion of his life and I was still, 16 years old. Don't sacrifice your friendships. Make sure that you're still, we've talked about your siblings, like it's your siblings as well, your brother, your sister, your family, but also just if you have really good friends, don't burn those bridges just because you want to spend all your time with your fiance. That's a tough balance. It's tough to say how much time you should spend with them, whatever, but I think you would know when you are kind of sacrificing your friendship.
That's a great point. And I went more on the accountability, and I'm so glad you brought that in, the friendship. How often do people just cut everybody out of their life in that time? And, man, I've seen this.
It's all about her.
Yeah, exactly. I've experienced this one from other people. Like, hi, I thought we were friends type of thing, or I thought we were siblings. It happens, and it becomes all about the other person. Don't do that, but the accountability side is to the... So there's two sides of it. Both are relevant and I think needed. The other side to the accountability part is, yes, sex and the desire for it is a huge... temptation. It's a strong desire. One of the things that I think can help get you through that is having other men who can talk to you about that and be like, look, I get it. I've been there. It's really tough, but... Make sure you're holding your values. Make sure that they... And it's not the holding you accountable and popping your hand on the wrist, like, well, just don't do that type of thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about men where you can call and go,
I'm really struggling.
Man, we just had a really good night together. Maybe the kiss went a little bit too far. I'm checking that in. I don't want this to go any further, and I need your prayers, need your help, and can you please check in with me next time? I'm going to be there tomorrow night. I don't want it to go far, so please check in on me before or after I leave or whatever it is. Those are the type of things. We're being proactive. That's really good. We're thinking about it. It's not going to be that long until you guys are able to, have sex and marriage, and that's fantastic. Hold to your values in this moment. If it takes getting accountable to other men and building those relationships, working on them, you and Jack being my closest friends, like, that is invaluable. I love my wife. My wife is my best friend. I spend as much time with her as possible. We talk all the time. She's not you. She's not Jack. She's not somebody that thinks the way that I think when it comes to manhood and masculinity and things like that. And yeah, she's we talk about these things a lot, but it is different. You don't want to cut out all your male friends because we need male-only spaces. We need, you know, that you get this with the Army battalions back in the day, right? You get this on sports teams. You get this in certain, even like the cigar lounges and such, which I'm not pushing for, but those type of things where that were kind of male-only spaces. Men need men. We need gangs. We need people that we can, not bad gangs, but you know what I mean? Somebody that's my gang, somebody that hangs out with me. Don't compromise those for the girl.
Well, you shouldn't look to your wife to fill every single need that you have. And there is a, I think there is a strong need, as we've talked about before, for you to be around other guys and talk about guy stuff and really, you know, push each, I mean, we've talked
push each other to be better.
We've talked before about your wife can push you, and that can be a great, that's not really her job, is to push you to the next level. That's what guys are for. That's what guy friends are for, to really hold each other accountable, but to just really encourage and motivate each other, whether it be competition based or just, you know, let's do it, you know, camaraderie type of thing. That's just, you don't get with your wife necessarily as much. And so, yeah, I really love that point. Joe, I would love for you to get into the next one, since you put this one on here as well, about reading books, preparing for marriage. You guys know how big believers we are in reading. That's a big goal that I have this year, is to get better at it. I still love it. I just have kind of brushed it aside and not done it as much. I think I only got through 13 books last year. It's kind of it was pretty embarrassing. Like, my goal was 15 or 20, and I did like 12. I think maybe it was 12. And so, I mean, I know a lot of guys are not readers, and so like 12 books, you see one a month, it's crazy. Like, but for me, what I would encourage you to do is, I mean, read books and listen to podcasts and
grow, learn.
Yeah, just try to expand your horizons a little bit when it comes to, this is a pretty big step in your life. Maybe I should learn a little bit about it.
Yeah, I had a few on the list. Covenant Household by Doug Wilson. I had to check on this. I always say it wrong. It is Masculine Christianity by Zachary Garris. I think that's a great one. What He Must Be and Family Shepherds are both from Vodi Bakum. Those can be very helpful. There are books that, yes, they're prepping us for marriage. They're also prepping us for manhood. They're prepping us for parenthood. They're prepping us to lead our homes and to know what are we supposed to do in leading our homes. Having other men that we can talk to about that can be wise counsel for it is great. We can go find this on our own. We can find podcasts that push us into marriage to be better and to help us understand our role as we're stepping into it. Don't stop growing is our point.
Point Man by Steve Farrar is the one that I always bring
there you
up.
Go. Yeah. That's a great one as well. So don't stop growing in these areas where, yes, read the book at night. Instead of maybe talking to her every single night until you turn off the light and go to bed, put the phone down, tell her I'm going to get into my reading time, 15, 20 minutes, read a chapter, whatever it is, get through some of these books, because what that does for her is it tells her he's serious about himself. He's serious about growth.
He's got a growth mindset.
Yes, he's serious about where he's going in life, and it's not all about me. And I wasn't perfect in this, and I think we could still have a good marriage. I don't know where you guys were on it. I was not perfect in putting down the phone and just focusing on myself, but that was for FaceTime, of course. But yeah, that's important to make some time just for you. And the last thing I have on here, don't lose sight of your goals.
Yep.
You see people, it's not a good sign when you're gaining a ton of weight before marriage. Everything's going into the relationship. Everything's going into to spending time with her or whatever it is. And, oh man, I had a great gym habit and just haven't been to the gym in the last three.
You start failing classes.
Exactly. You're failing classes, spending extra money on having to retake classes. You really did want to be this, you know, specific. Wow, that's great. You're going in that direction. I can't really be that anymore. You know, I just got to go get a job and I got to provide for my wife. And so you give up on it. Don't lose sight of your goals. If you're at this point in the, you know, fiance, like engagement period, that's probably not going to be as big of a deal, but this is, once again, short engagements. If you're going on an engagement for 12, 16, 18 months, something like that, you can easily lose sight of what you're trying to accomplish in life, because the getting to the wedding day is the goal. Mm-hmm. Well, you just put your life on hold for a year and a half to get to the wedding day. No, get married and go. That's the point, is get married and go live your life with your wife by your side, accomplishing the goals, pushing into something better, you know, taking dominion, those type of things. Why would you want to wait on that and make the wedding day the goal for an entire year or year and a half of your life? I don't, that sounds mean. Maybe this is a jerk part of the being a guy. I don't want to waste my time on that. The wedding is important, but that is not the most important part.
Yeah.
Living my life with my wife is pretty important. So I want to make sure I get it right ahead of time, but don't lose sight of your goals. Don't let the wedding day be the goal that basically obscures every other thing in your life for however long it takes.
The way that I would say it is, don't make her be the only thing that you're pursuing.
Yeah.
You need to be pursuing other things. Pursue her. Absolutely pursue her. But if she's all you're pursuing and your goal list is everything to do with her, that there's an imbalance there that you need to kind of straighten back out. And because obviously you're leaving God out of the picture at that point, your own spiritual walk. But even, yeah, like Joe said, your fitness, your exercise, your career development, your academics. Like, there's so many things that can just be thrown completely out of whack if you are only pursuing her. And so I love that you added that on there. This was a good episode. Yeah. I don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much, but I think, again, this engagement period is one that is, you know, very, again, exciting, but it can also be very challenging. And so we were just trying to give you some things to think about. I know there's probably not very many listeners who are currently in that particular phase. Maybe you are. But I know, actually, I know of one, Josh Carroll. Shout out, Josh. He's a part of our Discord.
Nice. Yep. Yep.
Good friend of mine. We've talked a few times. He's a great guy. I know he's, shout out to him. He is in the engagement period right now. Congratulations to you as well. But I think for the most part, the guys that are listening, watching this are going to be there eventually. And so, yeah, we just wanted to give you some things to think about with that, with in-laws and with conversation, self-improvement. So anything to add as we wrap up?
If you have questions, if you have thoughts on this, if you know, you have... Yeah, further clarifications, join the Discord. We have a specific part of the Discord for episode chat. So you watch this episode, you go, well, they missed this, or what about this, or you didn't address this, whatever it may be. Get on there, let us know. We will address it back on the Discord, and you know, if it needs another episode, we'll take another episode for it. But yeah, we hope that you've enjoyed this. We hope this has been helpful for you. If you've already been married, then consider this for maybe your boys or whatever as they grow. Something along those lines. But anyway, anything else, Will?
I'm good.
All right, this has been episode 105 of the Godly Amen podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.